everyone for joining us for our call. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is on the line, and he's going to be making a major announcement on conservation funding to help landowners protect and restore key farmlands, grasslands, and wetlands across the country. If you'd like to ask a question of the Secretary, let us know by pressing star 1 on your touchtone pad. Mr. Secretary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Susan. Thanks very much for all who are on the line with us today. Several months ago, I traveled to Pennsylvania to announce one of a number of Farm Bill programs that we were excited about implementing, the Agricultural Easement Program, which basically combined a number of easement programs and conservation programs. We were anxious to see the reaction to this combination effort, and we were not disappointed. Obviously, the effort will be focused on water quality, wetland storage capacity, habitat production, as well as trying to provide assistance for land that is at high risk of development and erosion. We received over 1,450 applications under the Consolidated Agricultural Easement Program, totaling up to $546 million of requests that would have covered 345,000 acres. We were able to identify 380 easements that qualified under our program, $328 million being announced today for those 380 easements. It will cover 129,000 acres. 60% of those acres would be farmland and grasslands, 40% wetlands. With a real focus on water quality and wetland storage capacity and projects that involve the California Bay Delta, the Red River Valley, the Mississippi River, Upper Mississippi River Basin area, habitat protection in Louisiana and Florida, and certainly out west with the sage-grouse, and lands across the United States are at high risk of development. We're excited about this. These easements are of varying lengths, and we are very appreciative of the interest that has been shown for this program, and it speaks highly to the wisdom of Congress in terms of passing a farm bill and getting this program set up. So again, 380 easements being announced today, funding $328 million, covering 129,000 acres under this new Consolidated Agricultural Easement Program. This is another indication of a farm bill that is really focused on partnerships. In this case, it's between landowners and the NRCS, USDA, providing assistance and help to conserve and preserve land for high and best use. Other examples of partnerships include the work that we're doing on establishing the safety net for producers, the regional conservation program, which is a companion to this agricultural easement program, the new foundation that's been set up, our work in exports, and certainly our work in energy following a couple of announcements last week in terms of new biofuel opportunities. So exciting time at USDA, and excited to see the interest in this program.
All righty, Mr. Secretary, thank you for that. Once again, reporters, if you'd like to ask a question, let us know by pressing star 1 on your touchtone pad. Obviously, this is something very significant with NRCS, and I understand that the ASEP program is a combination of three different NRCS programs that have been consolidated.
That's right, and it's really designed to give options to folks to be able to take a look at what works best. In the past, we've been pretty prescriptive in terms of allocating the resources and basically forcing people into one program or another. This basically creates the kind of flexibility that allows folks to put their own ideas together, then seek assistance and funding under this consolidated program. And again, the fact that we received over 1,450 applications, obviously this is a popular program, and the fact that we were able to fund 380 easements doesn't mean that those other easements and those other applications will go for naught. There may be ways in which other conservation programs can be used to provide help and assistance. Or there may be lessons learned from this round, and next year folks may return and figure out how to make their application more competitive.
Let's go to callers on the line. From the Associated Press, we have Mary Claire Jelinek.
Hi, sorry to get away from the subject a little bit, but I saw on the schedule that this morning you had a meeting with the president and the vice president, and I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what you guys discussed in that meeting.
Well, the president and vice president are very interested in making sure that those who are in charge of departments are keeping an eye on all activities of their department, and this was an opportunity for us to give the President and Vice President a briefing on what we're doing in terms of our technology efforts for our Farm Service Agency offices, as we modernize those offices, to give them an update on what we're doing to assist rural schools who are challenged by the new nutrition standards, who are having a hard time implementing them, ways in which we can provide help and assistance to show them that there is a way to join the vast majority of schools across the country in embracing the new standards. An opportunity to talk and give them an update on the drought situation and the various programs and assistance that we're providing, especially in California. We talked briefly about the rail situation, where we're concerned in the upper Midwest about the lack of rail capacity to haul grain in light of the upcoming fairly significant bumper crop. So it was an opportunity for us to really showcase the good work that's being done at USDA in terms of day-to-day activities, and to reassure the President and Vice President that we've got our eye on the ball.
Let's go to Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report.
To follow up on Mary Claire's question, earlier today you said you would also be talking to him about FSA modernization and the MIDAS program. What about the modernization of the FSA, and how is MIDAS going? It's been going on for years. How are these efforts going at this time?
Well, that's essentially, we did talk about that, Jerry, the President was advised that we have developed the system and the foundation for a technology system that brings the FSA technology into the 21st century. That we now have the capacity and laid the foundation for additional work, but we now have the capacity for a producer to go into a county office to be able to secure records concerning farming operations in that county and other counties. In the past, that producer would have had to go into multiple county offices to secure records county by county based on the farmland that they owned and operated and farmed, depending upon the specific county it was in. Now they only have to go to a single county office and be able to access their records from multiple county locations. That's an important convenience for producers. We're also this year putting the finishing touches on additional modernization of the technology so that we can keep a good eye on the integrity of the payments to make sure that we're recording them and reporting them accurately. Future efforts which are not part of MIDAS, but future efforts which are part of our overall effort to try to improve MIDAS is the streamlining of acreage reporting. That's sort of the next big challenge from a technology perspective that we'll probably be focusing a lot of our attention and resources on in 2015. Also talked to the President about the need for FSA offices to have a broader portfolio of opportunities to help producers in addition to the important work that's done in providing disaster assistance and assistance under the programs and farm loans. We'd like to see many in the FSA offices be able to provide advice and counsel to producers who are looking for creative ways to use their land. It may be a local and regional food system opportunity. It may be a conservation easement possibility. It may be participating in a new ecosystem market or being part of a co-op that puts together a new bioeconomy opportunity. We want the FSA offices to be places where farmers can at least get the first bit of information that allows them to maximize opportunity. And so all of that was discussed with the President.
We continue with callers in the line. From Gannett, we have Christopher Doring, followed by Sarah Wyant with AgriPulse. But first, Chris.
Mr. Secretary, I wanted to see if you could follow up on your earlier comments. One of the issues you said you discussed with the President and the Vice President today was the rail issue ahead of what is looking like a record corn and soybean harvest. I want to see if the railroads have said that they're ready for the harvest. I want to see if you thought that they were, and if not, what steps should be taken to ensure that the country's crop gets shipped efficiently and to where it's supposed to go.
Well, I think that the Burlington Northern is taking steps, and they obviously have to continue aggressively pursuing the plan that they announced some time ago to make a $5 billion investment. That's $5 billion with a B, investment in new locomotives, additional cars, more personnel, and better track improvements. I think they are on track to continue that commitment, and I think they need to do so to be able to handle not just this year but future years. The Canadian Pacific Railroad, I think, still has a lot of work to do, which is why several weeks ago I directed Undersecretary Ed Avalos to direct a letter to the Surface Transportation Board expressing concern about the backlog that exists today and how it might be exacerbated by a record crop. Hopefully the Surface Transportation Board, which is now asking for weekly reports from these railroads, will keep an eye on this and basically make sure that when it's all said and done, these railroads are indeed prepared for what is likely to be a significant harvest. I think it's also important for us to focus on the overall need for investment in infrastructure generally. In rural America, that's why several weeks ago we had the Rural Opportunity Investment Conference here in Washington, D.C., why we were excited about the prospects of the $10 billion commitment made by CoBank to rural infrastructure projects. This may not be rail projects, but it does speak to the need for a concerted effort by Congress to adequately and fully fund a transportation bill, for example, and to provide a five-year transportation bill as opposed to the 19 short-term extensions that we've seen recently from Congress. So there are a lot of things that need to be done. We're going to keep an eye on this, and we're going to keep the pressure on the railroads to make sure that they're ready, willing, and able to handle what is likely to be a very, very good crop.
Thank you.
Up next on the line, we have Sarah Wyant with AgriPulse. Sarah.
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary. Given the tremendous demand for this easement program that you've shared, and given the fact that conservation funding seems to be getting cut more than enhanced in Congress, what kinds of messages do you think producers should be sending to appropriators as they look at trying to address the water quality challenges that we're seeing, for example, in Ohio and your home state of Iowa?
Well, I think, you know, there's always an issue with funding, whether or not something is cut because it doesn't meet the congressionally mandated amount, even though the amount of money that's allocated may have been greater than the previous year. You know, we obviously are working in a constrained resource environment, which is why it's going to be very important for us to continue to look for creative ways to leverage and expand the use of conservation dollars to make the most and to get the biggest bang out of the buck that we spend and invest. That's why not just this project, but as importantly, the Regional Conservation Partnership Program gives us a real good opportunity, I think, to substantially enhance conservation without necessarily asking for a large amount of additional resources that may be hard for Congress to find. I would say simply you've passed a farm bill, you've provided guidelines, you've provided a commitment of resources. The producers should just simply say to Congress, look, you've done your job, just let the farm bill do what it's supposed to do. Don't interfere with its implementation, don't interfere with the funding levels that you've set. You know, that's a concern that we have, frankly. I mean, we're coming up on October 1st, and I've just been telling a lot of producers groups and that I've been speaking to, and I just got finished talking to a group of appraisers down here about the important role that that they have in letting farmers know that if they've got a livestock indemnity disaster assistance application, that they need that farmer to get their appointment scheduled before September 30th, or they may see their check for disaster assistance reduced by the sequestered amount of over 7%. Same thing with livestock indemnity. If you've lost livestock, you've got to get that process completed, not just your appointment scheduled, but actually completed before September 30th, or your check is going to be a little bit less than it would otherwise have to be. So I think it's important for folks to know that we're still in a constrained resource environment. We got to do everything we can to maintain funding, and then it's incumbent on all of us to try to be as creative and as innovative as we can to leverage those resources. And I think this conservation easement program and the regional conservation program are good examples of our efforts to try to do so.
Thank you. Could I ask,
Mr. Secretary, how does this ASEP program come into play and mesh with the existing portfolio of other easement programs that USDA provides?
Well, it actually is the principal easement program, and it basically provides the flexibility that didn't exist under the old program, where there was a specific set amount of money allocated for easements, a set amount of money set aside for wetland restoration, and if you had more interest in easements and less in wetlands, or more interest in wetlands and less in easement, you didn't have the flexibility to be able to match the money with the need. What this program essentially does is it says, what is the need out there? And then we went through those applications and tried to fit and use as many of these dollars as effectively as we could. I think, you know, you're going to see 129,000 acres be dedicated to preserving farmland, to increasing habitat, to increasing the capacity of wetland storage, and improving water quality, all of which I think are very consistent with the goals Congress set for this program.
Let's go with another caller, Brian Fanny with Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Hi. I was just wondering, I saw that Arkansas is the third largest ACEP total funding behind California and Florida. And I was just wondering where this money was used and if I could find a breakdown of the, where the money was spent.
Well, we can get you specific information on the projects that were awarded in Arkansas. Obviously, there's been a focus on the entire Mississippi River Basin, both the upper and lower Mississippi River Basin in terms of conservation. I think we're, you know, obviously concerned about the situation in the Gulf, and we see this as an important way of not only providing assistance and help in Arkansas, but really having an impact on a much larger ecosystem. There are also tremendous habitat opportunities in Arkansas, which furthers tourism opportunities, which may very well be part of the projects. But we'll get you more information about the specific projects that were awarded in Arkansas. I can't obviously tell you specifically today what those projects are.
Thank you.
Mr. Secretary, before we bring the call to a close, anything else that you want to add so that our listeners...
Well, I think I want to leave folks with the same message that I started, which is that I'm very proud of the team here at USDA in terms of its implementation of the Farm Bill. You know, we have done a lot of work in the first 6 or 7 months since the signing of this Farm Bill. We still have work to do. We obviously are now looking forward to the additional modeling and education information on the safety net programs, ARC and PLC, which we hope will be forthcoming by the end of this month, which will give producers several months to make a very important decision for their operation. We just launched the Dairy Margin Protection Program, and people have until November 24th to sign up for that for 2014 and 15. Obviously, again, very, very concerned and make sure people are aware of these deadlines coming up in terms of the disaster payments. We've already processed over 240,000 applications, paid out over $2.5 billion. There's obviously more work to be done there, but we want to make sure that people are not surprised if it turns out that they don't get their appointment in time, or they don't they forget or put off until after October this effort because they're busy doing other things. It could cost them some money. And I also want to take this opportunity to remind people about conservation compliance, which is another deadline a little further down the road, June of 2015. But folks do have to have their 1026 form on file. Otherwise, they won't be able to participate fully and completely in our crop insurance programs with subsidies and the farm program. So they want to make sure folks are aware of all these deadlines.
Mr. Secretary, thank you, and thank everyone for being on the call. And that concludes this call for now.
Thank you.